You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Will you save your house? What are you talking about? I'm talking about sports and comedy. We're going to cover it all. This is the Josh Wolf and Adam Ray podcast. Good call.
Coming up on today's Good Call podcast, Old Chella, Big Poppy's goodbye. Can the Cowboys survive without Romo? Butt Naked streaking at 100. Odell Beckham is fired up. And a 50-state capital face-off. And now here are your hosts, Josh Wolf and Adam Ray.
You notice we have something different holding up. We have Abe Lincoln.
Wow. Is that in honor of Trump's comments about Abe Lincoln?
Did he say something about Abe Lincoln?
Yeah. He said like... Man, I watched the debate. He said he quoted Hillary quoted. Well, you know, everything she would say, he would come back with some sort of, that's not true. I never said that. And then she would say something about Lincoln. And he was like,
I knew Abraham Lincoln.
He was like, Lincoln.
He was a good friend of mine. He said, Donald, you have the best ideas.
You have the best ideas. I know Lincoln. I drive a Lincoln. I know I have the best Lincolns.
And so, my dog's name is Lincoln. He likes me alike.
He said, like, it was one thing where he was like, Abe Lincoln and General MacArthur are rolling in their graves because of your emails, like some sort of fucking crazy shit.
How would you and the fact that you're putting Lincoln and MacArthur, like,
yeah, he was just connecting dots.
By the way, Lincoln and MacArthur sounds like a 70s folk band.
Lincoln MacArthur?
Lincoln and MacArthur.
Yeah.
Like, which one is the girl in Lincoln and MacArthur? I think MacArthur is
MacArthur.
Yeah.
Lincoln's too. Are they last names? Too masculine. It's just not a girl's name.
Are Lincoln and MacArthur last names? Like Simon and Garfunkel?
Yes.
So Lincoln and MacArthur open up for...
Oh, wait, no.
For,
Simon and Cher with their first names.
Yes. But Lincoln and MacArthur would open up for Simon
John
and Garfunkel.
Fogarty, yeah. Or Simon and Garfunkel.
By the way, John Fogerty could do that show.
Yeah.
We were trying to say, because you know I went to Old Chella.
Yeah.
And we were trying...
I think you're still high.
What was the last text?
Well, remember I came when I did Molly Abanu for the first time. Remember, I was still messed up. You're not as bad as I was.
No, I'm feeling actually. The thing that I took away from this weekend about mushrooms is that I have to do more of them. I've really been clearly been punishing myself. Excuse me.
Last text you sent me was.
Yeah.
Last text you sent me was, well, you sent me a text from the concert that said shooming, zooming, and booming, my friend.
Yeah.
I said, I love this text. And then you sent back, whoa, the next like 15 hours later.
Dude, that's because I had just taken shrooms again.
Jesus, dude.
Have you ever taken shrooms?
Twice.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Look at this. And then I texted you a handful of stuff about what we should talk about today. And then at one point you just put, best smelling food, popcorn or fried chicken. And I go, are you still high? And you go, kinda.
But I will tell you, to me... Fried chicken and popcorn are the two best-selling things, smelling things. Can you think of a food that when it's cooking smells better than fried chicken or popcorn?
No.
And which one? Like, because my
spaghetti and meatballs, but
I think those
not as pungent. Fried chicken and popcorn, they cut through your.
Oh, if someone microwaves popcorn at the office, everybody's like, "What's that fucking?" What's that fucking smell? Everybody wants some of
bacon
that.
Bacon, too.
Oh, yeah, good
How
one.
About bacon-flavored popcorn?
How about...
Dipped in fried chicken sauce.
Fried chicken sauce?
I don't know, man.
That was my nickname in high school.
Don't be that still high and look at me like when I say crazy things, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
No. I was just wondering if I could get some fried chicken sauce somewhere. Like, because I didn't say it like that's crazy. I said it like, yeah, have I like, been missing
ooh,
out on
yeah,
that?
Ooh, my is that a thing? Yeah. Ooh, is that a thing? Not...
Listen, if
hey
you
man, that's not real.
If you had and you know what I have to add to that list? McDonald's French fries.
Wow. Yeah, they do something special.
If you know there was a car, some cars they almost like they don't burn on gas, they're burning on something way more natural.
Right.
It's like canola oil, but when it comes out of their exhaust, it smells like my brother had one of these cars. It smells like fucking McDonald's fries.
Wow.
Oh, I was like your car fucking smells great.
I mean, is that great for like the people who for those car makers, or really bad for us that there's probably something they use in cars that they're putting on those fries.
I that would not deter me from eating them.
No.
Because you know what? I don't, if you're like, you know, that's going to be later in life. I'm like, well, I don't need those 5 years from 85 to 90.
You joke, but we could have lost.
I don't need them.
Every fry, you could have lost like a day.
Fine.
What if that's the ratio? What if that's the breakdown?
Fine. Listen, do you want to be the healthiest 90-year-old in the world? Is that a goal for you?
I don't know. If I get to 90, I might want to try to live to 120.
You're jumping 30 years. Why from 90 to 120?
I don't know, man, because that's what I came up with.
My...
This has, clearly I haven't thought through the live past 90. But yeah, if I get to 90, then it's like, you definitely want to make it to 100 at that point. Because you're only 10 years away. So you got to do everything in your power to hit triple digits.
How do you celebrate 100?
I mean, you maybe do something that could be the end of it. You put your life on the line. You know, skydiving is one thing, and that definitely is dangerous. But I think you do something even crazier. You like you streak on a field during a sporting event. That's what you stay healthy for.
Streaking if you're 100, streaking is because you're not really streaking. You're casually walking.
Depending on how good a shape you're in.
Okay, and if you're 100.
If you're Nordic tracking and or speed walking every day. If you can brisk jog across a field, buck naked at 100.
Yeah.
Nobody's taking you down.
Well, also at 100, your balls are so gross, nobody's tackling you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Nobody's like, who's going to...
Also, they'll kill you if they tackle you.
Yeah, they'll break you in half.
And guess what? There will be one fucking just aggro, fired up security guard who just like...
Describe how you think he looks. What is he... In my brain, I know what he looks like. He wears tinted...
His name's Cameron.
He wears tinted glasses all the time.
Yes, he wears them outside at night.
Yeah.
He's got...
What's his body look like?
He looks like a He-Man figurine.
Oh, you giving him muscles?
He's yoked, yeah.
See, I picture a human pear.
Oh, okay.
So this dude is yoked,
yep.
But he wasn't yoked in high school.
Nope.
He was a scrawny. Job,
and his girlfriend left him.
He does steroids.
Yeah, his girlfriend left him, so he was like, fuck that, I'm going to get so jacked.
He can't put his arms down?
Nope. And when he runs, his arms are out to his side.
Does he tuck his t-shirt into his jeans?
Yes. And he wears... And he has a couple giant tattoos on his back.
Of what?
One is a quote, one is like a person. So he's got like, I don't know.
What does he sound like?
Like the bottom of his fucking jaw is always like fucking that.
Yep. Does he have a dip in his mouth all the time?
Yeah, he's always fucking dipping. Dude, I'll tell you one thing, dude. My name's fucking Cameron. If I see somebody streak across my field, like he takes pride. It's like, my fucking field, dude. I will fucking take them down and take them out.
I fucking love Cameron.
And dude, everybody fucking, because I keep the field safe.
What does Cameron listen to pump himself up right before he pulls into the parking lot for work?
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
And I have no problem fucking showing up to a party I wasn't invited to and fucking taking it up a notch. Because that's what Cameron does. Also, yeah, dude, you're 100. Good for you. You're also fucking trespassing on fucking American soil. If you're not playing, if he ran across the field in pads, I'd go, okay, fucking maybe they're letting this old guy play for his birthday. But when you're fucking buck fucking naked, dude.
Yeah.
I fucking take you down. Ooh, and then he dies. That's on you. Maybe you shouldn't have rushed the field. He's that type of like, maybe he puts it on you. Maybe you shouldn't have done that if you don't want to die. It's like, well, dude, at some point you have to have human decency and go, you know, and they should put up on the big screen. He should, the 100-year-old man should somehow get in touch with the stadium and make it known that it's his birthday.
Yeah. And that say, I'm going to go balls. I'm going to go naked in street crust. Do you know the only difference? Here's the only place that we differed at all. I think he pulls in every day, and right when he's pulling in, the song he's listening to is "It's the Final Countdown," and he pulls in, and he won't turn off the car until that fucking song is over.
So when he pulls up early, and he's also going to be late.
No! There. He's got to finish that fucking song.
By the way, that's a really great scene in a movie. Like he pulls up, and he's so like about being on time that for whatever reason. Maybe they call him and he's 5 minutes early to, he times it out to where he, when the song ends, he's still got 5 minutes left, but they call him, they go, Cam, we need you, here early, man. What? We need to set up some of the balls weren't pumped up or there's some sort of big party that's here earlier that wants a tour of the field. And he's like, all right, I'll be right there. But he's sitting there like looking at his clock.
He's got to finish the song.
And he's getting missed calls and he fucking is losing his shit.
And you know the rest of the people he work with, they walk by his car every day and all they hear from the fucking inside is,
From outside the car.
Now, I will tell you something. My brothers and I talked about that this weekend, not Cameron.
Yeah.
But like, if you got to a certain age and you knew you were going to die, what would be your thing? Do you know what my thing would be?
What?
I would try heroin. I'll tell you why.
But it would end
my life.
Okay.
I understand that. But every movie, I've always said this, like, you know, the movies that show people being heroin addicts. I don't know about you, but that first 45 minutes of that movie looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
Do you know what I mean? It's not. They're not deterring you, really.
Jamie Foxx made it look real cool and red.
Yeah, you're having a good time. They look like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
So, and everybody you talk to, you're like, that first fucking hit is the best feeling you ever have. Why not die with that feeling?
Oh, God.
Why not?
I don't know. That's intense.
I mean, listen, I know it's probably not that easy to get through your loose, leathery skin with a needle.
Yeah.
You probably have to fucking really get in there with a plunger. But for me, I go a little hair on to tap out.
Fuck.
What do you think about that?
At what age, though? At what age would you go now?
If my doctor said to me when I was 70, now looking right now, if he's like, hey, you got a day to live, I'm like, I'm going to try to fight that.
Yeah.
But I'm 75 and he's like, hey, man, you got a week to live. I'm like, cool. You know where I can get some H? You got it.
And what if he just opens the door and goes, we're not the first person to ask. This is actually the top selling item
for people who are going to die.
Cashing their chips. So what was, by the way, did you see any people on heroin at Old Cella?
I saw a bunch of people on mushrooms, including me.
How do you know they're on shrooms? Is there just like a shroom on shroom glance?
Well, the guy standing next to me for the Stones. Now I needed a little extra space. My brothers were in the GA, like in the cram part. And I was like, I can't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Cause I'm tripping out a little bit. And we had bought initially GA because we didn't understand the layout. We didn't understand how big the fucking place was going to be. And I was like, we're going to be able to get close enough to the stage. Plus this gives us a little walking freedom.
Sure.
That first night I was like, we're buying tickets tomorrow for seats.
Yeah. It's too chaotic in GA. Sometimes,
and you're three football fields away from the stage.
General Mission is fun, but at a festival like that, when everyone is probably, GA is, look, it's cheaper than seats. So people, there's a little bit more of a loosey-goosey mindset and attitude to like, we're up in the fucking hills where nothing matters because we paid less.
Yes.
We paid less to have more room, and not only more room physically, but more room to go bonkers.
Oh, there was some fucking... When the Stones came on, the guy I was standing next to, we were leaning up against a fence. He introduced himself to me 9 times. He would be like, the first night he was like, hey man, where are you from? I go, Los Angeles. And like 15 minutes later, he's like, oh, hey man, where are you from? I go, Los Angeles. But he did it.
You call him 9 times Jonathan.
Listen, the 6th time he did it, his wife goes, babe, we've met him like 6 times. Yeah. And he goes, oh, my fault. And he goes, and she goes, I'll tell you about him on the car ride home. He was like, okay.
By the way, I love that she let at least 6 intros go before she needed to bring it up.
He had seen the Stones 66 times. This was his 66th time seeing the Stones.
See, that's the type of shit that's dope at that festival.
That's
because now you're immediately intrigued by this human. You're like, dude.
Adam, for me.
Have you seen anything 66 times?
No, not even maybe my dick.
Yeah.
But not
that's
like,
it.
Yeah. But here's the 2 things that I took away from that concert that I didn't think I would. Okay. 1, it was my absolute privilege, and I didn't think this was going to be something for me. Look, you're dealing with 60-year-old people who are looking at bands they'll never be able to see together again.
Yeah.
That, you know, music brings you back to a time in your life.
Yeah.
That I got to watch, you know, and when you see 60-year-olds out drunk at a bar, you're like, that's kind of sad.
Yep.
But here, no inhibitions. They were with their people, and they were all reliving a moment in time.
That's incredible.
And I got to watch it, and it was, I told my brothers, I'm like, that was the biggest rush for me all weekend, that I got to watch these people, and they, I think in their brains, they were like, we're going all out this weekend because this will never happen again. We will never have this feeling. We will never be amongst 60,000 60-year-olds all getting fucked up and getting down. And I told my brother, I go, there are going to be some fucking fat, ugly sex at the hotel tonight, and let's go. Right?
Yeah.
There was some really ugly making out. just tongue out. But the dude sitting next to me,
they were so happy.
Oh, they were so happy, dude. It was such a privilege. And privilege is the right word, because you don't get to see that very often. The guy next to me with his wife, he'd seen the Stones 66 times. She had seen them 45 times. And she was like, "You'll have to excuse us. We're a little fucked up." I'm like, "Yeah, no shit." But I was too. So I was super excited.
Very polite, by the way.
They were so nice. But I said, "Why so many times?" And she said, "We try to come once or twice a year to a Stones concert because we connect with their music so viscerally that once or twice a year, we fall in love all over again."
Oh my God, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Dude.
You cried.
It was because I was shrooming. I did cry.
Yeah, of course.
I was fucking amazing. On top of that, the music was blowing my brain.
When you're shrooming, you're always one sweet story away from just breaking down.
And like,
not
like
story, like just
bubbles,
a moment.
Bubbles, yeah. Of like the snot bubbles.
Wow. Because it makes us fall in love again. That's incredible.
It was amazing. And the music was amazing. And
I feel that way every time I hear Seal's Kiss from a Rose. I fall in love with 1994.
If you had an old cello for you, pick your six bands.
By the way, I'm not done hearing about just that festival.
I get that, but if you had your six bands, I thought about this, yeah, actually when I texted you.
But what? So, and this is, I mean, how many years later, right? It can't be like next year.
Think about this.
It's got to be when they're all in their 70s, right?
Think about the Who, the Stones, and McCartney. Think about, I'm going to put some numbers in your head. For 50 years, all three of those bands have been selling at least 40,000 tickets a night. For 50 years. All three of those bands.
That's insane. Is that, that's a true fact?
Think about it. They've been playing the Stone, the Who said this is their 50th year. They've been selling stadiums, arenas for 50. There hasn't been a drop off. 50. The Stones, when they go to Brazil, they sell 80,000 tickets.
You have to, at that point, have a certain number of hits, I think, you know?
You have to have 2 hours of hits.
2 hours of hits, I think. And I don't, that might be it. But then there's got to be something else that,
I'll tell you what,
music that just, there's also a time, there's a connection, like what they said about like falling in love again. But also, you can't have that with one hit. So you have, going to that concert, you go, although maybe there are people who only love one Stone song.
No.
You have to go see. Everyone there is diehard, huh?
In order to pull that off, the headlining bands have to have five or six songs that you could go, oh, they could close on that song. Oh, they could fucking close on that song.
Potential closers, yeah.
You gotta, because when you look at McCartney, of course, you could close on Hey Jude. He didn't.
Wow, what'd he close on?
He didn't. Listen, they were, when they did, when
Kiss
he played
from a Rose?
Yes, he did. His Seal came out and they did Kiss from a Rose. It was right, pretty. Well,
fucking, that's where I cry. Oh my God.
Seal.
Can you imagine? All right, I'm going to play. Hey, you guys have been a great audience. It's been a lot of fun. I'm going to bring out a friend of mine, Seal.
Yeah, I know everybody's been waiting.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Seal's British, right? I think so.
Maybe.
He's got, I think he talks. No, that was fucking like Jason Statham. Seal's tough. Gonna have to work on that one.
Well, right. maybe you don't know what, I don't know what the voice
is. Seal is British.
He is.
Yeah.
Okay. So
McCartney.
McCartney, when he sang Hey Jude, and I was thinking this too, this is the difference between comics and musicians. People are emotionally attached, yeah, and a song brings you back to wherever you were at that, yep, point in time in your life. When McCartney did Hey Jude, 100,000 people sang his words back to him. Nah.
Yeah.
And I turned around and I turned on the lights and I was like, this is a moment that I will never.
Yeah, that is a powerful, when people do that together.
100,000 people.
Get out of here.
Together. And he was so nonchalant. And that's when it dawned on me. Oh, this has happened to him his whole adult life. His entire adult life. At least 50,000 people have been singing his words back to him.
Wow.
Is that fucking crazy?
That's incredible.
And so it also, dude, it also gave me like, you know, sometimes as a comic or a performer, you're like, am I still gonna, are people gonna care? Yeah, if you connect with people, no matter how old you are, they stay connected with you.
Yeah.
It was really encouraging. The whole weekend was good. The mushrooms, I saved the most mushrooms for Sunday night for The Who and Roger Waters.
Why?
Because it was Pink Floyd and The Who.
Were those who you were most excited to see?
I went into the weekend most excited to see The Who because The Who plays angry music. And when they were young, they were angry. They played angry music.
What's their hit? I'm trying to think of their...
Won't Get Fooled Again, Bob O'Reilly. They, you know, they did the whole Tommy musical. They're Who's Next, you know, Pinball Wizard. Their Who's Next album is crazy. And Pete Townsend can still fucking get it.
That's key. If you have to still be
mobile, you can't be sad.
No, and your pipes still have to be there.
His Roger Daltrey sang a song called "Love Rain Over Me." It's that love rain on me.
Still got it.
Oh, still got it. And I was peaking at the time, mushroom wise, when that song came on.
Jesus.
And in the back and the screens, they had like a little electronic raindrops coming down.
By the way, the lighting designer was like, "Okay, let's just decide how fucked up people are really going to be, and then times that by 10. And take our lighting cues from their fucking eyeballs.
By the way, I think Cameron was a security guard for our section.
Oh, yeah.
That dude, hat pulled down over his, you know what I mean? Propped up high, but pulled down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So he had it propped up and pulled down and, you know, did a lot of, a lot of this.
Yeah.
Took it.
Yeah.
Took
it. Of course.
Took it.
Wait, by the way, they should have had like some senior citizens tearing the tickets.
The Walmart greeters.
Just to really add to the vibe.
They should have had a couple Walmart greeters.
Those lighting designers for sure had like three different levels. They were like, all right, first hour, peaking. They probably had a peak hour. A lighting switch titled peaking. And they were like, when at a certain song, and when they decide, then they go hit that thing.
You know what that song was?
What?
Dark Side of the Moon by fucking Pink Floyd.
Oh, that's right. That's a song they do. I mean, that might have taken the cake for the whole weekend, right?
I can't put a finger on
what did you see? Who did you talk to?
Well, I was with my brothers a lot.
Person.
I did a lot of talking that first night to strangers. I lost the mushrooms that last day. They fell out of my pants on the bus. So my brother goes, are you mad?
What a festival sentence.
I know. He goes,
mushrooms fell out of my pants on the bus. I mean,
my brother said to me,
no sympathy whatsoever, by the way.
My brother said,
keep your hands on your drugs.
Well, he said, first of all, why would the mushrooms out of your pocket? And I said, I was just looking at him. He was like, that's stupid. He said, but second of all, you know, your worst day is somebody else's best day. Think of it that way. I was like,
Jesus,
you know
that's
what?
That's festival mindset right there.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? You're right. And mushrooms might be the only drug that if I found in a baggie, I would eat. Because nobody's putting anything weird in mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm not in pills. I don't know what's in weed. But mushrooms, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think so.
I would take, if I found a bag of mushrooms on a bus, I would eat them.
Immediately?
Well, I'd wait till, I don't want to fucking
assess the situation where you were headed.
Yeah. But I had forgotten, Adam, how much I liked mushrooms, how quickly they hit you, how happy you are.
You're so happy.
How great you feel the next day.
I know.
And I'm going to be doing more of them.
I know people that do them every couple weeks.
Oh, it's so fun.
I also, you know, often wonder what they would be like if they didn't do that, but.
Are they fun? Are they fun people?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like with Doug Benson and weed. I think they've just adjusted. Their body's just like, oh, we're going to be doing this a lot more now. Cool. You
know? Yeah. So it's like booze. Yeah. Well, it was a great weekend, man. And I had such a good time, and I didn't talk to a whole lot of people outside of my brothers because, again, my brothers also, this music was more their wheelhouse than mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My brothers are older than me. Yeah. And so,
but you knew it enough to go
100%. And like I said, it was still great for me, but I told my oldest brother he and I spend the least amount of time together. And that is probably my fault
because
he reaches out more than I do. And I feel terrible about that. But I would say this on top of watching those 60-year-olds, watching my brother soak in that music.
Yeah.
Was the best for me.
Fuck yeah.
Just watching how happy that made him.
Yep.
And it was like, for me, worth every fucking... Here's the difference between this and other festivals too. Bathrooms, clean. The old people?
Yeah.
There's no trash on the ground. The old people put the fucking trash in the trash cans.
Wow.
There was a stand that just sold lobster mac and cheese for $16 a plate.
Lobster or lobster?
It was lobster. No, it was lobster, yeah.
And
lobster mac and cheese.
Answering the questions, is he still high?
I've got a little bit of buzz, but it was
that's great though.
Man.
But like the come down off mushrooms is not as extreme as
there's no extreme at all.
Yeah,
it was just the best.
Do you remember meeting somebody other than the 66th time? Like any other just quick conversations or or did you see something like other than the grotesque yes. makeouts, like somebody trying to climb a fence or?
Okay. So, I like
the mean age was what?
48, 50.
Okay. So pretty tame then.
Yeah. Because the Stones brought a lot of young kids.
Yeah.
And so did.
So did Paul.
And so did Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Which was Roger Waters, not Pink Floyd, but he played out Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I loved seeing, you know, a group of drunk 60-year-old dudes with their shirts off is a fucking good time.
It is.
Trying to walk up and then they would try to walk up and talk to women.
In that setting.
Yes.
At a wedding, it's not great.
No, that's what I mean though.
Yeah.
In this setting, they were free to do whatever.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of giant old white calves. Apparently, old white guys have big calves.
Giant calves.
The giant calves. A lot of giant calves with sandals. but I would say my favorite person that I
encountered.
Yes, there was a woman who was in our section.
Yeah.
Who didn't wear bra and did a lot of titty flashing.
Wow.
Not wow.
No.
No, ow, not great.
Oh,
yeah, maybe when she was doing the titty flashing in the '70s, but like
she had seventies titties.
Yeah, because in order to flash her titties, she really just needed to lift the bottom of her shirt.
Yikes!
Do you know what I mean? Like the titties were
yikes. They were.
Yeah, and titties are titties, and that's what happens to them. And I'm happy, and people age the way they age.
Yep.
Probably don't need to flash them.
Yeah.
He's like a 90-year-old dude doesn't need to take his nuts out. We know.
For
we,
sure. Okay, so that's a comparison. Because
we get it. Yeah.
She would probably make the argument, well, those dudes are taking their shirts off.
I'm not on board for that argument.
Yeah.
I'm not, because here's the deal. I get it, and I've heard the argument like, well, if guys can take their shirts off. No, why can't girls take their shirts off?
Because it's different.
Well, because when guys take their shirts off in public, nobody jerks off on them. Do you know what I mean?
And there's the argument.
Yeah. I'm not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like nobody, when we take our shirts off in public, nobody's fucking staring at us like pieces of meat, right? Yeah. So I honestly
Well, maybe
think,
not me, but you. You got that no soda life.
I honestly think I'm for the right to take your shirt off, free the nipple, whatever.
Yeah.
I honestly think, and I'm living in a reality, not in an ideal world.
Yeah.
I think it would be dangerous for women. I think the amount of assaults would go up. I think the amount of stalking and all that shit
would
go up.
So be free, but also, you know,
I just think if you're looking reality, I'm not condoning the behavior, but I'm saying a lot of dudes are creeps. And if you walk around and you're an attractive woman and you have your boobs out, somebody's going to take notice and think bad thoughts. So that's the only reason I'm against it.
Well, yeah, in lieu of the recent, you know, public comments by candidate Donald Trump, like we are now in even more heightened. It's already made me just even think. Even when I'm typing something to somebody on like Facebook chat or something, and it's not even anything lewd or crude, but I already have a heightened sense of like, just proofread a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's, and again, nothing even in the vicinity of a,
grab your pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, but because of that, I'm like, okay, like what are you really saying here?
You know, Billy Bush get fired.
Yeah. Well, suspended indefinitely.
Do you think?
Yeah, he's done, though.
That's pretty funny.
And apparently they don't like him here.
Yeah,
they don't like him.
That's true also. But let me ask you, I'm not the biggest Billy Bush fan, even before this.
Yeah, I think most people have always thought he's kind of a chode.
So tell me, though, did this offense...
It's one guy I'd like to see Cameron take out.
Yeah, fucking Cameron would tackle him on the Fox line.
Billy Bush would probably, like, jump up in his face. Like, he's got little man syndrome for sure.
The last time I saw Billy Bush,
How about a hush for a hug for old Bushy boy? Fuck, dude. That was 9 years ago. Fuck off, dude. You were 33. You're you. You're yes. you at 33, right?
Here's my thing. Yes, I agree with that. And I think what he did was terrible. And I think he's a general douchebag. I also think that part of his personality, is. He basically tries to be friends with everybody he's around.
Totally. It's part of the job, but also that was his thing when he was younger.
Yes.
I think he was always, he also grew up in probably Bush money, right?
Yep.
And so.
A little bit of privilege.
Yeah. And so maybe there's the privilege. Also, there's maybe getting shit on for coming from wealthy family. Yeah. I don't know. There's two sides to every story, but when you're just a classic A general, grade A douche, there's no, I don't. you, there's got to be at some point some wherewithal of you. Like, I would love to know what part of him is like a good dude, you know? Is he a dad?
I know he's married. Maybe he's a dad. I think he is.
Is he a dad?
Yeah.
Sean, can you Google Billy Bush kids?
I bet you he's a good dad. Bet you he's a good dad. He's attentive. And good. And he's good to his wife and all that shit, but yeah. I think he seems like a douche. Should we talk about a little sports?
Yeah.
What did you... By the way, watching Poppy say goodbye...
My condolences. By the way, I missed that part of it. I had to leave after they lost.
I watched with my son.
Yeah.
And as he stood on the mound...
Yeah, so what happened? So the game ended. I when I walked out, I just saw all the fans staying. I think they were chanting,
yes,
right?
Yes, Poppy. So he comes out, and he walks to the mound, and he stands on the mound, and he tips his hat, and...
Did they turn on the natural music?
I wish they fucking had.
Come on, dude.
That would have been great.
What is that theme song again?
I keep thinking Chariots of Fire. I keep thinking ding, 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 ding.
Or the Olympic fanfare.
Real quick, Billy Bush has 3 daughters.
And he still was talking about grabbing pussies.
Dude, well, you know what, man? And laughing at it. That's
but this
crazy.
This was pre-kids, I think. I think it was pre-kids.
No, this was... He's... Okay, it doesn't say when his kids were born, but...
But how old are they?
Well, just says he's been married since 1998.
Right.
So...
Oh, he had kids, but yeah. He's had kids since then.
All right, so I'm not sticking up for him, by the way. I think he's a complete douche, but...
I was thinking Olympic fanfare, like...
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I that's a good one.
Yeah.
But we gotta can you Google the theme song to The Natural? Bum ba that's what it is. That's all I know though.
Yep.
All right. How am I doing?
It's like they just hear you and they're like, yeah, they said Poppy, they said your buddy Josh. Said that you would like this. Yeah, it's just you. They're like, he's like, you couldn't get the actual song.
That's your impersonation.
Yeah.
He stands on the mound. He tips his cap. Tears roll well up. It hit me harder.
On him or you?
Him.
Yeah.
First. It hit me harder as a grown man than I thought I was going to.
No way. I told you I shed so many tears during Griffey's retirement.
I didn't think I would.
Oh, yeah.
And then I watched Jakey, and he was crying. And we sat and we shed a tear together, and I asked him a question. I said, hey, man, what bothers you so much? Like, why are you so upset? He goes, you know, he's my idol. It's hard. It's the first idol I've ever had to say goodbye to.
Wow.
And I said, what are you thinking? He goes, man, I go, what would you want to do right now if you could? He goes, if I could, I would just like to give him a hug and say thank you. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what all those fans would want, you know, just to be like, hey, thanks.
What is it about Griffey for you? What? So I'm curious, like, as far as sports idols, like, what is it that you need that because can you think of 3 or 4 you consider idols? Because then maybe we could kind of see what characteristics.
I think you just spend so much time, a very formidable part of your life. Fuck yeah, I'll do this to the
keep going.
So, you know, I mean. When Griffey was drafted, it was 89, I was 7. And then when the M's got dope in 93, I was 11. Prime time to be a kid who's just like, A, soaking up. Jesus Christ. I'm going to start crying. Soaking up and just you're becoming more aware of you know, the emotion that sports can provide, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think also at that time in my life, I mean, my folks split. All right, Sean.
The circus music when the folks quit. And then my folks split. This is still a theme song, right?
Fast forward to the fucking sweet part, man.
No, this is
perfect. I can't be talking about my fucking divorce counseling during Bozo the Clown's fucking balloon trick. Yeah.
I mean, what's happening right now? Here it is. Here we go.
This
here
is when
we
he,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, give all it. Right. Here we go.
So look, so Griffey. Fuck.
Yeah, that's it right there. Ba-ba-ba.
Dude, if Poppy's tipping his hat.
Right now?
And by the way, you tip it in slow-mo. If you're Poppy, you fucking turn in slow-mo. Everyone's like, is he moving in slow-mo just because of the moment?
And then he does this in slow-mo?
Yeah. And then you do like a fake jump in slow-mo?
He's got a fist pump in slow-mo too. Yeah. Da-da-da. Oh, yeah. Come on. Da-da-da. I think that's a French horn, by the way.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Robert Redford requested that.
Yeah. Oh, where's the French horn part?
Yeah. Guys, I love the theme, but...
But I'm going to need a French horn in here
somebody
somewhere.
Promised me French horn, and I didn't hear it. And you don't want to see what happens when Redford doesn't get his FH.
Yeah, hey, Robert's mad. Why? The fucking no French horn. He didn't get Redford's French horn?
Eric, you had one fucking job.
You know he's got a French horn guy. But just call my guy.
Yeah.
You got a guy? Yeah, I got a fucking French horn guy.
Yeah. I'm Robert Redford. And then he tips his hat and walks away in slow-mo.
Do you know what I learned in movies?
Oh, you can turn that down, Josh.
I want to blow your brain for a second. I just learned this from Beth, who's editing a movie. Do you know the big stars have voice actors that sound like them? They don't do ADR.
I know, dude. I did Bruce Willis's last 6 movies.
You did?
I've done 2 movies for Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
So will you explain to everybody what that means?
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, if you're somebody like Bruce Willis, you're working all the time. You're going from movie to movie. A lot of actors will do their own ADR.
Explain what ADR is.
ADR is audio dubbing recording. It's basically, you know, audio sometimes doesn't pick up a line, or an actor was being too soft when they were speaking a line of dialogue. Or they want to get a better performance of it, or whatever it is. So the actor will go in and redub their lines. I had to do it for The Heat. And
but you're not big enough to have a guy that come in and do it for you.
But also most actors do their own shit. Like even like Melissa and Sandra did their ADR. You know, and
like Brad Pitt doesn't?
No. So the thing is, like even like Al Pacino has a guy. And there's people that do... most actors, if they can, will do it because it's in the contract.
Right.
But then if they're busy, like Bruce Willis was, like so much so that they found a guy that could do his shit. So I would go in and, you know, you're dubbing it not only for the movie, but then you're dubbing it for the TV version. So The Surrogates was the first one I did, and then Cop Out, and then the last Die Hard. And it was a lot of, changing, like, you know, fucks to fricks.
Yeah.
And,
let me hear your Bruce Willis.
Here's what I'll say about that. Jay Leno, I can just go into. Oh, it's something. Yeah, but it's something. Josh Wolfe down the show. Yeah, but apparently Josh loved Roger Waters. Yeah, Roger Waters. Yeah.
What if he played you a little Bruce Willis so you could hear his voice?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those things where I had to really like listen to it a bunch.
Yeah.
And then I would just immediately kind of like, you know, mimic his voice a little bit like that, you know? So it was like really, really kind of high pitch and breathy like that, you know, a little bit of jazzy. Yeah, like a little bit of that.
And so what I was
did Robert Downey Jr.'s for Due Day, where it was like, so, you know, he'd be talking to Zach Galifianakis and kind of, yeah, is that really? Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But you fucking, wait, fuck, like shit like that. Yeah.
You know, so what's crazy is what people don't know is that a lot of times if you are watching a movie and you're not seeing their lips move, like if they're doing, if you hear the voice and you just see the back of their head, a lot of times, that's not them.
Yeah. No, that's me. That's Adam.
It's fucking Adam Ray.
Yeah. You see the back of Bruce Willis's head? It's Adam Ray.
That is...
Just use that as a rule of thumb.
I mean, I'm sure some people listening the worst news I've ever heard in my life.
Nah, but who... Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I paid for Robert Downey Jr.
So funny,
and I'm fucking getting
And I got
that.
88% of Downey. I won 110.
I won 110 Downey.
Yeah. No, that's a biz. I mean, the guy who does Pacino does... There's a guy who does, like... Higher pitch Pacino, and then there's like the real low pitch guy.
Why isn't it Craig's that gas across the board?
It should be.
His Pacino's pretty fucking spot on.
It's amazing. But that job exists, and it was dope for a while. He heard me when I did, there's a movie called Red that he did. He did Red and Red 2.
I remember
too.
That, yeah.
And after I did that, they said that he said, they actually played me a voicemail of it when he was listening to it and leaving messages. Like, oh, yeah, I'll be there for the shoot dates on, you know, for November 14th or whatever. But by the way, that guy you got sounds more like me than I do. That's great. And I was like, they play it for me.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like,
fucking
I was
great.
Like, fuck yeah.
How do you get that? You should be able to get that on your voicemail. How do you get that message?
I know. Well, I wanted to try to meet him at some point. But I mean, I just, you know, met with my buddy who is runs like development at Downey's production company.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you got to tell him that I have done his ADR. And that I want to hang out with him. He's like, I'll tell him the first part. I was like, okay. My mom, by the way, when I first started doing it, she was like, because she's such a like think outside the box. Like she's got a hustler's mentality, but like
your mom does.
Yeah, like when I was on the red carpet for The Heat, and I, you know, took her down it, and at one point I had to stand by myself and take some pictures, and Sandra was getting interviewed by I think like Access Hollywood or something. And my mom goes, go stand behind Sandra, and I go, Mom, don't fucking mother me on the red carpet.
Yeah.
And she goes, go stand behind her. Just go stand behind her. I go, Mom. My mom sounds like Jay Leno. Just go stand behind her.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
And so she goes, because then they'll see, like, who's that guy standing behind Sandra Bullock? And then they'll go, oh, I think he's in the movie. And then they'll come talk to you. And I go, all right, not a terrible idea. You're just asking me to kind of bombard and photobomb her interview.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and by the way, we were cool. I could have probably just.
And did you do it?
No. And like looking back, I'm like, why didn't I just, it was my first one. So I didn't want to overstep my boundaries. But looking back, it's like, hey man, you're friends with her. You're in the movie.
Yeah.
She knows you as a funny, goofy guy.
And if you
pop in and just jump in the interview
and do something funny and goofy.
And guess what? Now you're guaranteed to get airtime because they're never going to not air Bullock sound bites.
And
Bullock bites are the best kind of bites.
Yeah. Bullock bites. By the way, I'd buy at Ralph's.
Bullock bites. I don't know. Those are like, they're going to be Dippin' Dots competitors. What are they called? They've got like, there's other bites. Well,
there's a couple. I think the Bullock bites are in the cookie department.
For sure.
And I think they're
little cookie dough balls, maybe.
I think they're near the, you know, those, the animal, the cookies that look like animals, but they're pink and white.
Animal crackers.
No. Circus. They're called circus crackers.
Oh, yeah.
The circus ones.
Delicious. By the way, no food has more artificial sugar than those circus cookies.
Yeah, I haven't had any in probably over 20 years.
I know you haven't.
What, did you hear that noise?
What the fuck was that?
Did you hear that?
Those were the rest of the shrooms trying to get out.
that was a weird noise because it didn't really come out of my mouth.
That was the shroom gargoyle that's formed in the pit of your stomach getting hungry for circus cookies.
That didn't come out of my mouth. It came out of like inside of my being.
You just that's like a Brian Scalaro joke. You've heard it. You know Brian Scalaro, right?
Yeah.
So funny. He's got that joke. He's like, yeah, just certain sounds and noises just pop up. One, he's like, you got the farts, you got burps and sneezes, but then there's like a sound that happens like right here below the stomach. And it's just like, the other day I just like moved off my couch and just went, I was like, Jesus Christ, I don't think that chicken sandwich was fucking dead. You know? And then he goes off on a whole thing.
You do see what we have here, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We've got a 50 U.S. states list.
How much time do we have left? And because I want to get to some sports stuff that we had.
Well, we've got 15 minutes left. What we need to talk about is now what does Big Poppy do? I also want to know what do Cub fans do if they don't win the World Series?
Interesting.
And then I want to know, I think we need to make a Seahawks Super Bowl like Patriots, like what happens if they both go? Because I know.
First, we're going to the game. It's in San Francisco.
No, it was there last year.
Oh, it was there last year. That's right.
Can you check it out for us, Shawnee? I think it's not early enough. My Hawks are becoming very dominant.
I think the Hawks are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
I don't think there's
now
any doubt.
Cam with his concussion is very like that team is you can't win without him.
What do you feel about Odell Beckham Jr.? Where do you fall on that? Because I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
And I know like what my son thinks. Where do you fall on? Have you been following his antics at all?
I mean, he's piping off. He's like a lot of he's
a little bit of a distraction.
Super Bowl's in Houston this year. Next year.
Wow.
Next
year. Okay. And I've got some friendly ties. Not to be confused with family ties.
Yeah.
But guess what? They're like they're friendly family that like they're family friends, but they're more family. They're family ties.
That should have been the theme song. That should have been in the lyrics of that theme song.
Do you remember the Family Ties theme song? Sean, will you pull it up for me?
Showing the smile. Is that
That's
it?
Growing Pains, but I love where your head's at. No, Family Ties was, so I guess we've been together
for
a million days. And I guess we've been together.
Greatest TV theme song ever.
More.
What is it?
Well, Family Ties is one of them. Cheers is probably the best one.
I think Fresh Prince wins.
Wow. Two different eras.
I know, but there's, wait, and some of
the 80s and 90s.
Friends is good, but there's something about, because you know what Fresh Prince did? Fresh Prince, not only did he sing a catchy song, but he told you the whole story.
Yeah, this was the Family Ties theme song.
Yeah, they were big in Allstate, and it was a huge deal.
There it is. And definitely find the most
you know the words?
Muggy, staticky version if you can. Jesus.
I think he's playing it out of
quick.
His asshole right
now. Yeah, it was. We've been together for a million years. And then chick. We've been together. For a million more. This part I'm a little. Listen to the fucking bass though.
Oh, it's good bass
line.
Here it
is.
Oh, I know the chorus.
Yeah.
What would you do, baby, without us?
Love.
What would you do, baby, without love?
Key change. I always forget that part. This is when I was coming anyway, so it's always a little foggy.
Without love. Sha-la-la-la.
Great.
That's pretty good.
Not the best.
It's like a soft rock. That's like a Steely Dan song.
Yeah. That's a song where you're like, okay, yeah, let's get to the show.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky I love the show so much.
But Fresh Prince?
I could listen. It could have extended. There could have been.
Extended Fresh Prince.
Yeah. They always would play it every now and then. It's like when like Aunt Viv switched over. Sometimes you got like, you were like, am I going to get the long intro or the short one? Am I going to get like full black Aunt Viv or like kind of lighter black Aunt Viv?
You know what's crazy is that they
both were dope.
Yes.
I prefer the original.
They also try to sneak it by you. That's the funniest thing. They don't mention the role of Viv now being played by just fucking.
You can't.
Different person
that's
walks
breaking
on.
Breaking the fourth
like,
wall, man.
Okay.
Roseanne did it, remember?
Oh, yeah. With the daughter.
Darlene.
Yeah.
No. Samantha? Fuck.
The oldest daughter, Becky.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just swapped Becky. Like,
yeah,
we
they swapped
weren't
Becky's
gonna
out.
Know.
Like Beyonce, just swapping Becky's.
Yikes.
You would like Odell Beckham Jr. on your team?
No. And I mean, the Seahawks tried out Terrell Owens at one point, which I thought was going to be dope. And he didn't make the cut. I think physically, I mean, look, I think he would have been a dope addition. The guy's 6'5 and still just fucking jacked.
Yoked.
But Pete Carroll and John Snyder have a very strict set of guidelines as far as like what makes you a Seahawk.
Right.
And he didn't have it. That being said, I think it would have been dope to try him out. But I think probably what put it over the top was, I still hear he has like a tube problem and it's still like,
he still won't come out and say that was me. I fucked up. He still,
yeah. So that's why they were probably like, let's give him a chance. So, but Pete Carroll, the Seahawks are so great at being like, yo, let's try it out. Like, you know,
that's chemistry is, you can't,
oh, it's huge.
Huge. You never see a dysfunctional team
win
a championship.
Nope.
Ever, right?
No.
Never.
No.
That's why I don't think, like, I think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be fine. I think people are getting a little crazy. I think he jumped into the league like Dez Bryant did. Randy Moss.
He's young still, too, right?
He's young, and he's an emotional dude, and he's going to have to figure it out.
I love that he plays when he wears his heart on his sleeve, but, like, there is a point when you have to reel it in. But also, dude, it's like when people got on Sherman after the NFC Championship game in 2013 when he got on the mic with Aaron Andrews and was like, that's what fucking happens when you fucking mess with the best.
Yeah.
Like, Crabtree ain't shit. I mean, and I'm adding curse words that he didn't even use, and people lost their minds, and it was like, and he goes, I'm sorry, but he goes, you don't know what we have to do to psych ourselves up to basically go to battle and get in the mindset of basically trying to kill people.
Yeah.
With pads on. And that screaming stadium. And then immediately after, you're just supposed to harness all that fucking emotion and adrenaline and just be like, man, yeah, it was a fun game, man. I mean, I'm glad we won in a Super Bowl. It'd be cool. I guess we're going to the Super Bowl. I just realized
the way
that.
That one ended. Dude, with him throwing the ball.
The rivalry. Come on. And the amount of shit talking. Sherman said too, like, Crabtree had been starting so much shit. Like, didn't, I think there was something about him also, and that's what's great too about these guys, like, having access to each other now with social media and just everything, where it's like, Crabtree said something or didn't come to like some charity event of his or did and said something kind of fucked up. And it's like, Sherman definitely put a pin in that and was like, oh, I'm going to use that, baby.
And he did.
Yeah. So, to me,
I had somebody compare Odell Beckham to Sherman, and I was like, it's a completely different thing.
No way. First of all, the plays, Sherman backs it up.
No, but not only that, well, Beckham backs it up.
Yeah, he's dope.
But Sherman is a fucking 100% team guy.
Yes.
And he's not a distraction.
No.
He's not a distraction.
No.
Odell Beckham Jr. is a distraction.
He pulled it in. When Sherman started to be a distraction,
yeah,
I'm sure they had meetings and they were like, yo, dude. I mean, that following season, he was like, you know, he got married and had a kid. I'm sure that contributed. But also, I'm sure they were like, yo, dude. He realized, because he's a smart dude, they go, you're pulling from the team.
When you watch a Giants game, a crazy amount of camera time is given to Odell Beckham Jr., even on the fucking sideline. And that is a distraction to a team.
Yeah.
Look, Eli Manning, although... Every time Eli Manning has a bad game, which he's predominant amount of time,
yeah,
it makes those two Super Bowls losses sting even more. I wish he was a better quarterback. But the fact that he's a Giant fans, say whatever the fuck you want. And yes, he beat the Patriots twice. Yes, I know that he pulls out all these fucking games against the Patriots. He's a mediocre quarterback. He's a middle-of-the-road guy. And the fact that he's a middle-of-the-road guy and he still won two Super Bowls against the Patriots, that burns me up more. I wish he was like his brother, where you're like, well, he's a fucking great quarterback. Of course. No. He pulled two games out of his fucking asshole.
I don't know. He was dope for those whole seasons.
No. Playoff runs. He got into the playoffs right, at like 8-8.
Yeah.
Would you take Eli Manning or Joe Flacco? Or the same quarterback?
Joe Flacco.
Really?
Yeah.
I just like his name.
For sure.
I like the Flacco name.
I'm gonna go ahead and operate from the mindset of a girl on that one.
Yeah, I like his name.
A girl who's not really a football fan, but she's like, I like the uniforms. Yeah. I like the name.
I like the Giants uniforms more than the Ravens uniforms, for the record.
Yeah.
I think the Giants, if I go best uniforms in the league, the best helmet in the league.
Yeah.
Is old school Patriots with the dude hiking the ball.
It's pretty rad.
I think that's the best one. I don't like their new helmets that much. It looks like Elvis.
Yeah.
But I think old school Patriots. What do you think is the best helmet? Do you like classic, like a Bears helmet?
That's okay. Just the C.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think teams should be required to mix it up every 3 years.
Change the fucking
everything.
Logo,
uniforms. Yeah, dude. Make that another, go out of your way to make it another part of the game that like, that we get to go, ooh, what's going to happen next year?
Yeah, but then things happen like those fucking Bumblebee uniforms of the Steelers.
Yeah.
Which are the worst.
Yep.
The worst. Yep. Every time I'm like, first of all, Big Ben looks like he's 580 pounds in those.
There's a ton of colors. There are a lot of combinations that you're going to have to be forced. And they should draft colors the way they draft. There should be a...
like, so they go and they're like, oh, we get blue. Oh,
the way they do a draft for players, the owners all get together and they go, all right, you get blue. You get, and somebody's stuck with magenta and like
somebody
puke
gets
green.
Buccaneer orange.
Yeah.
And you're like, we got the Buccaneer orange.
There's
again.
So many colors. And you get to pick three.
That's a Trump. Tell me in Trump tells me about the colors. Tell me about Trump telling me about the colors. You swipe so many colors.
Look, there's so many colors. Okay. There's orange, there's magenta, there's pussy red. Look, okay, there's tons of colors. You get two, you get maybe three. I've got all the best colors.
Your Trump is pretty good, man.
It's not bad. My Trump is a version of, I mean, there's.
But look, Trump is like Schwarzenegger.
The amount of gestures, like he's, that's what I kind of hate most about him is his resting bitch face. But also, oh man, he did have a power slam on Hillary when she was like, Donald, I am just so thankful that you are not in charge of our criminal justice system. And then he just looks to camera and goes, because you'd be in jail.
I know, that was an SNL Daryl Hammond moment.
That was
moment
a fucking
entirely.
Like slam. And it was like, he had a smirk to his face.
Oh, and he played to the camera?
Have you seen the video that people have done of them singing Time of Your Life?
It's outstanding. It's outstanding.
It's a bummer that it's even there, but it's great.
It's outstanding.
I want to ask you this real quick.
By the way, I think I'll get 8 of these.
Of the 50 states?
Yep.
I'm convinced I'm going to get way more than that.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to get 40.
Okay, you're going to go first then.
Okay. Do you think Tony Romo will be traded after the season?
Okay, so that'll be the thing that I have to talk about for a minute. We're going to get you on the clock right now.
Oh, great.
How about that? Because 7:09, okay, so we great. Get a... We get a
All right, so you, who's going to time me?
Get your timer.
It's going to die. It's got 1%. Can you time?
Okay, so 60 seconds, right? 60 seconds?
Yeah. And so what happens from the winner of this?
Well, I already won the states.
Right.
And I won the first bet on football.
Yeah, in which I need to karaoke.
Yes, so this starts over.
So this is a new bet.
New bet. Okay, so are you ready? 60 seconds.
Well, what's the bet?
Oh, we got to start. Well,
this is a new best.
Yeah, whoever
like,
wins gets to best of three. Best of three.
Best of three.
Whoever wins gets to assign the loser what they have to do.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I talk about will Tony Romo get traded for a minute?
Well, is Dak Prescott going to because he has taken over and keeping the Cowboys relevant?
Okay,
and you know, basically just finding. That was a guy who like got his opportunity. Now he's crushing it. And look, Jerry Jones wants to win, and he loves Romo, but it's like, dude. Romo, all right. You are injury prone, baby.
All right, I got 60 seconds. Tell me, you say go. It's
2 minutes, right?
2 minutes?
Yeah. That's what we did last time.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 minutes. Go. So here's what I think. I am not one of the people that hates Tony Romo. I do think he has had some... Look, I put Tony Romo in with Andy Dalton and all these other guys, although Romo's a better quarterback than these guys. But until you win a big game... I can't put you as a great quarterback, but as far as a regular season quarterback and skill set, that dude is really off the charts with escapability, accuracy, and all that shit. He just obviously right now can't stay healthy. With that being said, I think if the Cowboys keep winning, you don't, we just talked about chemistry. You don't fuck up the mojo. You got to keep Dak Prescott in there. Even look, and looking at that offense, there's still some things they clearly haven't opened up the playbook to. They don't need to, because it, in the past couple of years, when they've opened up the playbook, it's been too much passing. That's been the problem. They've been passing too much, and they haven't run the ball. Well, they can't open the playbook up for Dak Prescott, so they have to turn around and hand it off to Elliott, who runs behind the best offensive line in football and has been running like crazy. I think he's got the highest average yards per game. I think he's and the most carries per game. I think both. That's the first stats, I think, we've been doing this for a couple months. Those may be the first stats that we've actually said out loud. And those weren't really stats because I really have no idea if the answer is right. So those are good call stats, which means they could be right. They could not be right. We just use them to make us sound better. So I think when Romo comes back, I think for sure, 100% he's on the bench. Now, does he stay on the bench for the rest of the year?
Fuck.
I don't know. It's not as easy as you thought, no. Is it? So does he stay on the bench for the rest of the year? I don't know. But I will say he'll come back and start on the bench. And what they'll do is they'll say he's starting on the bench to get his football legs underneath him. They'll spin it. He's got to take some reps in practice. They'll spin it, and they'll let Dak Prescott keep playing, because you don't mess this up right now. Right now, they're looking. Is that 2 minutes?
Great.
Okay. I am not going to be close.
I know for a fact that all except for one is wrong.
Except for one is wrong?
By the way, I want to comment. Yeah, I want to comment that, like,
but this was going to be your wheelhouse, and then you said you were going to get 40.
I know. Well, sometimes you're wrong.
I love the answer to that. Well, you know. Well,
like, yeah. By the way, I want to just comment on the fact that how quick your inclination will also be to write the name of the state and then that plus city as the capital.
What do you mean? What do you mean? The name of the state's right here.
Right. But I mean the name of the state. But like, if you don't know the capital, you'll want to be like,
I'll just name any city.
But that plus city, because some of them are that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like something city.
Like Ohio City is not the capital of Ohio.
It should be.
Okay. Well, touche.
I mean, they should, to make it easier, right, it should be Alabama City, Alaska City, yeah. And that would be, yeah. Okay. So your talk is, what do the Cubs do? Where do they go?
Right.
What happens to their franchise and their fan base if they don't win this year?
Great. 2 minutes, Sean.
Tell me when.
Well, look, the Cubs, they pulled out an enormous victory against the Giants. Down 5-2 in the ninth, 4 runs to take the series. And if they had to go back for a game 5, I was worried because, A, you're not putting the pressure on the Cubs because you were up 2-0 and now you're back home with a chance to wrap it up. All the pressure's on you, Chicago. Do I think they would have done it? I don't know. You know, pressure, look, they are the best team in baseball. They were this year with 100 wins. And there's just an energy surrounding that city and that franchise that is like, this is our year. They believe it. Last year, they had a dope year. This year, I think, is their year. They're just stacked. They added some pitching that was just, you know, with Chapman now closing it out. Like, a left-handed fucking flamethrower? See you later, dude. Buca de Beppo doesn't even have that. These guys are killing it. Joe Maddon, obviously, now has had a couple years to get his vibe with the city and the clubhouse. So I think this is their year. I think the Cubbies are the team to beat. The fact that they rallied in the ninth shows you how dominant they are with fucking 4 runs to close it out. Now, I think if they play the Dodgers, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. I think if they play the Nationals, they're gonna sweep. But that's just me. You know, I could be wrong. But I think they're going to sweep. I think if they lose and they don't win the World Series, Chicago fans are going to be fucking bummed. Because every year they put pressure on themselves that this has got to be the year. And then when they lose, they go, it's all good. It's all good. And it is all good. Because even if you don't win this year, you have a nucleus intact that is fucking solid. But that being said, they will go, yeah, but we should have won. And now that you're this close and in the NLCS, sorry, I'm getting choked up. In the NLCS, now that you're in the NLCS, you are that much closer. So it's going to hurt that much more. But that's why sports are great. You get close, you win. It's fucking incredible. You get close and you lose. You want to kill yourself. Some people in Chicago might get suicidal. Don't do it, even though you got a great bridge to jump off of. All right.
By the way, I felt good up to Iowa. Look at me. But then when I got past Iowa, I kind of died.
Yikes.
Okay.
Do you want me to correct them while you're here?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you read that? Do you know them? Oh, you have them up? Yeah, come on over. Yeah, okay. So did you have an answer for Alabama?
Here, we'll trade.
Okay. So.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. Montgomery, Alabama.
I got mine wrong.
Yep.
Juneau, Alaska.
Yeah, I got mine right.
Fuck.
Phoenix, Arizona.
How did I forget that, dude?
Got mine right.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Fuck.
Sacramento, California.
Duh.
Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
Hartford, Connecticut.
Fuck.
Dover, Delaware.
Nice, dude.
Tallahassee, Florida. Atlanta, Georgia.
Fuck.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
Shit.
Josh put Maui. Also dope.
Boise, Idaho. Springfield, Illinois.
Dude, way to fucking come through on that.
I put Springfield on two of them because I knew it was one of the two. Is that cheating?
No, that's okay. Fine. That's smart.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
I got that one.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Good move, dude.
Topeka, Kansas. Oh,
good one, buddy.
Frankfort, Kentucky.
Good one.
That's a big pull.
Fucking good
who
one.
Who knows Frankfort? People in Kentucky don't know.
Fucking Adam Ray. Yeah, that's dude. Who knows Frankfort.
You're welcome.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Augusta, Maine.
I got that.
Fuck.
Annapolis, Maryland.
No. Fuck.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow.
Lansing, Michigan.
No.
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, you got that
good
wrong.
Good job, dude.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Fuck. Jackson.
Jefferson City, Missouri.
Yeah,
that's city. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Helena, Montana.
Good one.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Fuck. Lincoln, just talking about him.
Carson City, Nevada.
Oh, that's bullshit. Yeah.
Concord, New Hampshire.
Never would have got that.
Trenton, New Jersey.
Fucking strong one. Frankfort and Trenton?
Yeah.
That's another folk band.
Gonna have to name my kids.
Frankfort and Trenton?
Frankfort and Trenton.
Yeah.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Good pull.
Albany, New York.
Great pull.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Fuck.
Empty.
Bismarck, North Dakota.
Empty.
Columbus, Ohio.
I was just there.
You mean Ohio City?
Ohio City, Ohio.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Got that right.
Good. Salem, Oregon.
Good one, dude.
Yep.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Fuck.
No. Providence, Rhode Island.
Fuck.
No. Columbia, South Carolina.
Jesus. No.
Pierre, South Dakota.
No. Pierre.
Pierre. I would have never got that. You could have given me a million chances on that
no
one.
No way.
I got it.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow, good pull.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah.
Montpelier, Vermont.
Nope.
That's just bullshit.
Richmond, Virginia.
No. Nope.
Olympia, Washington.
Yeah. Both, yep.
Charleston, West Virginia.
No. Nope.
Madison, Wisconsin.
No. Nope.
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
No. Nope.
Cheyenne.
Okay, so you got...
Oh, shit.
You got 18.
You got 22.
Woo! Wow. By the skin of my fucking chinny chin chin.
All right, so you won that one.
By the way, together, we got what you thought you were going to get.
Jesus, yeah. Fuck.
I mean,
hey, you know what? Take the Capital State Challenge at home.
Yeah, so far.
Because it's not that far. Look how quickly I was. You fucking do better.
So far, our states and capitals have been pretty sad for people who have lived in this country for their entire lives.
Boy, I would love. I mean, you know, here's the thing, though. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and it's tough to really focus on shit like this.
Okay.
And remember, like, there's a lot of things like how many things do you need to just, like, take with you when you graduate the fourth grade? Do you need to know? How many times has. Hey, is the capital of fucking South Dakota, is it Pierre or Jefferson City?
Hey.
I'll buy you a shot of tequila for every conversation that happens.
You know what we should do? We should sign these and send them to somebody who listens to the podcast.
Great idea.
How would we decide who to send them to?
Tweet at, take your own capital state challenge.
Yeah, but how are we going to know how they do it?
I don't know, man. Just tweet at us with a fun tweet.
Yeah,
and the most fun tweet will get signed these and a copy of our CDs.
I'll throw in a copy of my book.
There it is.
All right, everybody. Later, skaters.
Is that it?
That's it. It was a good one today.
Yeah,
it was a really good one.
By the way, the Lincoln profile behind the Facebook Live.
I don't hate it.
No, I kind of love it.
Yeah, it really makes it feel kind of important.
You kind of want to put a Daniel Day-Lewis one, like
he kind of looks like Daniel Day-Lewis.
On the other side. He does.
It could be Daniel Day-Lewis,
but like it's. It's really stoic. It kind of makes me want one of those of like other people.
Yeah.
Like a Keith Sweat.
Like a Stone. Fucking, like a Belle Biv DeVoe.
Jesus. How many people in Belle Biv DeVoe?
Three. Belle, Biv, and DeVoe.
Good night.
Good Call.
Hey guys, it's me, Owen Benjamin, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast. It's called Why Didn't They Laugh? Right here on Sideshow Network. Each episode, we look at moments that a joke fails. Moments that we don't want to relive, but we will, because we learn from it, and it's kind of fun, and we're all kind of sadistic. Why Didn't They Laugh? With me, Owen Benjamin, every Wednesday and Friday. You can download it, be sure to rate it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/OwenBenjamin. I love you.